Isaiah chapter 9 tonight. Continue to look at this passage of Scripture. Isaiah chapter number 9. Isn't that great about Brother Woodry? Don't you love you to say Brother Woodry? We've been praying for a long time. And before we get into the message, let's pray and thank God for speaking to His heart. And I know that I have not been here as long as some others, but I've been praying for him to be saved now, me personally, for about 12, 13 years. And I praise the Lord. So let's go to the Lord and thank him for his decision. And I just can't imagine Miss Woodry got the news that... Say, did she find out? They rejoice in the presence of the angels when a soul gets saved. So it isn't the angels that's rejoicing. It's those in the presence of the angels that are rejoicing. And so, yeah, she knew. So let's go to the Lord. Thank him for answered prayer there. And just praise him tonight. He was definitely good to us. So Brother Jeff Allen, won't you thank God for us tonight, please? Amen. The day before his surgery, before he had his bypass, and that night I went and talked to him, and I asked Gene. I said, I hate being morbid. And I said, but you might not make it tomorrow. And he said, no. He said, I don't want to hear it. He said, why do you guys always bring that up? I said, well, it's because it's the most important decision you could ever make, Gene. And I said, your wife told me that if I ever gave up on you, that she'd have it with me whenever I saw her again. I said, so I want to make sure I do. And I just praise the Lord. So he says, don't ever give up. Amen. Keep praying. Keep planting seeds. And God brings the increase. And to God be the glory for it. So Isaiah chapter number 9, studying this passage. And won't keep you long tonight. I know it's a busy week and busy weekend. And I appreciate you coming, and I really want to focus on our prayer tonight, spend time in prayer. But Isaiah chapter number 9, of course, looked at this verse all day Sunday. Tonight, Lord willing, we'll look at it all day this coming Sunday. It says, for unto us a child is born. Again, it shows his humanity. Unto us a son is given. It shows his deity. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. It shows the fact he will rule and reign. And his name shall be called Wonderful. By the way, these things aren't up for debate. His name shall be called. Now, these aren't up for debate. This isn't a possibility. This is an absolute certain. His name shall be called Wonderful. He's going to be called Wonderful because of all that he's done. He'll be called Wonderful because all that he's doing. He'll be called Wonderful because all he's going to do. His name will be Counselor. That of our advisor, and we looked at that on Sunday night, how that we ought to look to God for our counsel and allow Him to direct our paths. And when we allow that, there's safety there. When we get apart from that, we look to the world for counsel, there's always destruction there. So we need to look to God. He is Counselor. Where we're at tonight, the Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Going to look at this next one tonight, the Mighty God. He is called here the Mighty God. All throughout Scripture, many other verses, he's called the Mighty God. I'll give you a couple of them. We won't turn there for time's sake, but listen real close. In Job chapter number 36 and verse number 5, behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. God is mighty. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter number 15, verse number 1, the Mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken. Isaiah called him a Mighty God in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse number 21. The remnant shall return unto the Mighty God. Jeremiah called him a Mighty God in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse number 18. It says, thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great, the Mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Habakkuk, the prophet, called him a mighty God. In chapter 1 and verse 12, art thou not from everlasting, O thou mighty God? In Luke chapter 9 and verse number 43, Luke refers to him as a mighty God and says, and they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. We serve a mighty God tonight. And there's one of the names that we are to find out here in this passage of Scripture is that He indeed is a mighty God. Now that word mighty, I started looking it up. When I think mighty, I automatically think of strength. But that's not, obviously that's part of it. But there's a whole fuller definition there with the word mighty. The word mighty there means hero, warrior, excellence, champion, the standard by which to go by. If you were to read that in the Hebrew, it would be El Gibor. El refers to the name of God. Gibor means mighty or champion, warrior, the mighty God. We've already studied how He is wonderful. And He is, we all can say tonight, He is wonderful. Amen. We all can say tonight that He is our counselor. At least, I hope we can. I know this, He is a counselor. I hope He is our counselor, walking in His ways. Then it says there, He is the mighty God. We've heard many times there in the book of Psalms that it is the fool that says in his heart that there is no God. But I've always thought this, and I believe it still to this day, that if a fool says in his heart that there is no God, then it is a greater fool that says that there is a God, but I'm not going to follow it. If it takes a fool to say that there is no God, then it's a greater fool to say there is a God, but I'm not going to follow Him. We sometimes, I know it's easy to amen the fact that we believe He is the mighty God, but just like I said with the counselor on Sunday night, none of us would argue that He is the counselor, but is He our counselor? I don't think none of us would doubt that He is a mighty God tonight, but do we act that way? A lot of times Christians look at ourselves and we think, well, we can hide this from God, or we can outrun God, or God can't take care of my problem, or we'll start doubting the might and the strength and the wonderfulness of God. He is the mighty God. See a couple things about this title tonight. Just three things real quick. Number one, I want you to see the singularity of this title. It doesn't say He is a mighty God. He is the mighty God. That word is a very small word, but it's a very important word to the subject at hand. Now there are many, even in the Bible, there are many mighty men in the Bible. I said that word was Gibor, which means mighty man. You'll find that word all throughout the Bible, on many different people. There are all kinds of men that are referred to as mighty men. Of course, probably in your mind, one of the first people that you might think of, just being a person and being called a mighty man, was there in Samuel. Goliath is referred to as a gibor, as a champion. Same word. A mighty man. Other people in the Bible, some good men. David was referred to as a mighty man. Of course, David had some men around him, his mighty men. They were gibors. They were his champions, his warriors, his standard of excellence. There are some, unfortunately, mighty men of the world. One of Cain's descendants' name was Nimrod. He was a great hunter in the eyes of God, Genesis says. But he was mighty, that word gibor. Remember Jephthah. Jephthah is referred to as being a mighty man. Gideon is referred to as being a mighty man. Joshua, whenever he took over Israel, the Bible teaches that in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 14, that he sought out gibors, or mighty men of valor. In the book of Ruth, Boaz is referred to as a mighty man. Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, is referred to as a mighty man. He stood above the rest. When Saul was first becoming king in chapter 14 and verse 52, the Bible says that he went and found the mighty men and brought them into him. The idea there, and I hope you get what I'm talking about, is that they were champions. They were leaders. They were warriors. They were heroes. They were people to look up to. And while there are many mighty men throughout the Bible, there is only one mighty God. Jesus Christ is the mighty God. He is the only God. Amen? He is the only God. He is the mighty God. He is an all-powerful God. There are many false gods in this world today, but there is only one true God. Commandment number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I believe many times that we as Christians, we understand that He's a mighty God. I believe that we truly will say that and will amend that. But the reality is, with our life, do we show that? Because a lot of times there are folks who will get other gods in front of the mighty God. Unfortunately. See, how can you say that? You mean there are Christians who have other gods in front of the mighty God? Yeah. See, who are they? Those sitting home tonight watching TV. There was something that they could have been here, but chose not to be here. Say, are you mad at them? No. But we need to teach them the truth. That they need to realize that He is the mighty God. And we do best to listen and to follow the mighty God. There are young people who look at their life and say, I don't want to live that way. They forget that they're not the mighty one. God is. We can't outrun Him. We can't hide from Him. And we can't trick Him. No one has ever pulled a fast one on God. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is everywhere. He is the mighty God. And I'd ask each one of us tonight to look at our lives and say, all right, do I live that way? Like I said before, I really don't believe, I've heard many times and many different people preach on this a lot. People will talk about having your priorities right. And, and then there's a great debate. You know, you have church, automatically, the first three you're throwing out there is, you know, God, family, church, work, and they start trying to prioritize these. And some people say, well, church needs to be above family. Some people say, well, family needs to be above church. No one disagrees about God. And then there's all this debate about what in order to file everything falls under. And I personally believe that none of those things are true. The Bible teaches that in all things, He might have the preeminence. He's the mighty God. And I think the reality is this, we don't have to prioritize everything in our life. If we will look at every aspect of our lives and say, now how can I glorify God in this in the right way? All those things will fall into place. If we give Him the preeminence in our home, I promise you this, it will never conflict with church. If we give Him the preeminence with our work, it will never conflict on whether we sin or not. If we give Him the priority and we give God the preeminence with playing a sport. Anything wrong with playing a sport? No, it's fine. As long as you are doing it for the glory of God. Giving Him the preeminence. Whenever we cease to give Him the preeminence, then all of a sudden it keeps us from being here tonight. Guess what happened? We have put something ahead of God. I'm right. If they can just shake your head, I'm right on this, all right? Not because I'm Travis Burke, because that's what the Bible says. In all things, He might have the preeminence. God should have the preeminence. Now, there's some people tonight that have to work. I understand that. There's some people tonight that are sick and can't be here. I understand that. But you know, there are some probably that are here, that are not here tonight because they just didn't want to. There are churches all over that people aren't there at their regular services because they just don't feel like it. What has happened? They don't want to give God the preeminence. They have forgotten. He's the mighty God. He's all powerful. He's the mighty God. He's the only God. See the singularity? See, give you a second point. The supremacy. It says He is the mighty God. That word there again, Gibor, means champion, hero, warrior, standard of excellence. You know, we're surrounded by, you know, I hope you understand what I mean by this word here, the word mighty. It's the same, the idea here is this. Back whenever, still to this day, we're going to play a game of basketball. Say that all of us men went out there and said, all right, we're going to play a game of basketball. We're going to divide up into teams. I am not going to be the first guy picked. I am not the Gabor of basketball in this auditorium. I'm not the standard of excellence. I'm not the best. I'm not, matter of fact, I'm the guy probably picked close to the last. All right? I understand that. Now, there are some people in the room, I'm not about to say the names because then we all go big headed and they'll start thinking about how good they are during church tonight. All right? There's some in the room that they get picked pretty quick. You know why? Because they're good at it. Another instance, what a Gibor is. I don't believe this is applicable. Anybody not sure? If some of you ladies, if your husband was a police officer, you would want a Gibor as your husband's partner in the police force. The best. To be by his side. To watch over him. If we had to go into battle tonight, we want Gibors surrounding us. People know what they're doing. They can handle it. They don't fear. They're the best of the best. You can look at our professional sports world today. You know, there's Gibors in basketball. People like LeBron James, he's Gibor in basketball. If you look at golf, I'm not going to go there. The Gibors have changed. Yeah. His name's not Tiger no more. He's changed it to Cheetah. Anyway, now you get it later. You'll get that later. Anyways. It's terrible, isn't it? You know what's sad? There's people defending that. People defending that. It's junk. I don't care if it's the most valuable man on the face of the earth. It's wrong. It's wrong. Sin is sin. But there are people who defend that stuff. Gibors. There's people who stand out. Best of the best. There's people who, in the eyes of man, they're heroes. I'm here tonight to tell you, I look at our God, Lord Jesus Christ. He is the mighty God. He is the only God. And He is the mighty God. He is the Gibor. He's our hero. There's a lot of people out there. Kids get posters of and idolize. Yeah, that's an easy trap to fall into. When I was a young teenager, I loved basketball, played it all through high school. My in basketball, the guy I loved, wanted to play just like, was a, this is what's sad. I was teaching music class in 5th and 6th grade last year. And I mentioned Michael Jordan, and they all said, who? Wow, I'm getting old. I looked at him and thought, well, I'm not even going to tell you who my hero was in basketball. And they're like, no. Larry Bird, he was my hero. Yeah, guy could shoot a ball. I had his shoes. You know, I had his jersey. I loved the way he played basketball. But I'll never forget, I was 16. And I was watching the Celtics play. And Larry Bird lit up the Hawks for 55 points. And I remember, watching him, church, I just love the Lord. I was watching him as a teenager. And they said, boy, you were on your game. You're on fire. And he's like, yeah, yeah. And he made this statement. He said, when I'm on my game like that, God himself can't defend me. And I said, there's a teenager who said, oh, no. Because I knew. And 2 months later, he sprained his back. And he was out of the game within 3 months. There's only one God. And if you want a hero, the Lord Jesus. Did you know everything he did here on this earth was for us an example? Everything he did here on this earth was for us to learn by. He's our hero. We're always trying to say, boy, if I just had somebody let my kids look at their life, the Lord's a good person. Have you ever stopped and thought about things? I mean, the Lord, did he have to be baptized? He's the Lord. But he did. He gave us an example. A lot of example, by the way, that there is a proper authority to be baptized. You walk 60 miles to get baptized by the right authority. It matters. It matters, amen? Well, we'll cover that in January, right? You know, it matters. Authority matters. The Lord, and throughout His life, His forgiveness, His love, His compassion, His grace, His mercy, His holiness, His righteousness. It's an example for us. We live in a world today that, you know, we want to raise up and lift up people that they're men. They fail. Our God never fell. Our Lord, did He have to battle temptation? I believe this. Now look at me. Our Lord could not sin. He's perfect. See, why did He allow the devil to tempt Him? Because He gave us an example that we can overcome sin. And the secret to overcoming sin is the Word of God. When the devil came and tempted Him in the wilderness, I don't believe Christ would have sinned, could have sinned. He's God. But He allowed that temptation to be there. You know why? Because He wanted to give us an example. You do not have to give yourself to sin. We want a hero for our young people. Look to Christ. Did He know what it was to be discouraged? Yeah. Did Christ know what it was to be betrayed? Yes. Did Christ know what it was to have people who were really close to you turn and walk away? Yeah. But in every facet, He was right. And in everything He faced, He left for us an example on how we too can have victory. He's a Gabor. He's our hero. We ought to give Him the glory and reverence that He's worthy of. There's just none like Him. He's a Gabor in that He's a warrior. See, how is Christ a warrior? He came to this earth. And He defeated some mighty foes while here on this earth. Christ came to this earth. Say, who did He defeat? Well, temptation that we already talked about. But I'll tell you what else He defeated while He's here on this earth. Death, hell, sin, and the grave. And if you're saved tonight, that ought to excite you a little bit. Because if had He not won those battles, we'd have no hope. But you know why He won? Because He's the mighty God. The devil thought, you know, I really believe the devil thought he could defeat Him. The devil thought he had Him. When Christ was on that cross, when Christ died and was buried, I'm sure the devil was pretty proud of himself. I'm sure the devil walked around wherever he was thinking, I've won victory. You say, the devil didn't believe that. He still believes he's going to defeat Christ. It started way back when his worlds were first created there in heaven. He thought he could be like the Most High God. And when Christ died and was buried, I'm sure the devil threw his hands up in victory and said, I got Him. What the devil did not realize, and look at me tonight, is that was not no man. He's the mighty God. The only reason why Christ allowed Himself to die, you hear me on that, no one ever took His life. He allowed Himself to die. He was always in control. The Bible is to point out that He gave up the ghost. No one took it from Him. The only reason He even allowed that is because, you know the reason? You and I. Because the penalty of sin is death. And there's a sting there, isn't there? Death, the grave, hell. But when Christ came to this earth, He defeated those. Because on that third day, the stone rolled back and He arose. He walked out of that tomb. He ascended up on high. And He was a warrior. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He's a Gabor in that He's a champion. Now, in the Bible, the word champion, we think of champion like, you know, someone with some belt around their waist, or champion, someone holding up a World Series trophy or something like that. That's not the way champion's used in the Bible. The word champion in the Bible, it's not like in Goliath's case, he's referred to as a champion, is one who stands on behalf of others. That's what a champion is. He's the best. Goliath was a champion of the Philistines. He stepped out. He stood on behalf of all the Philistines. He boasted and bragged and ridiculed our God. He stood on their behalf, a mighty man without a doubt, representative of all of Philistia. Our God is a champion. The Lord Jesus Christ is our champion. And that He represented us. See, the cross should have been ours. The mocking and the scorning should have been ours. But Christ went through that cross in our place. He is our champion. He went to that cross for us. He is the mighty God. We were His cause in going to that cross. The singularity of that title, the mighty God. Supremacy of that title, and I just end with this, sovereignty. He's the mighty God. He is God. And if you look at me tonight, and I know it's a busy time of the year, and people's minds are running a lot of different places, may we never forget who He is. He is God. A lot of Christians, we all get caught up in things. We get so used to God. We get so used to His Word. We get so used to church. We get so used to prayer. We get so used to routine. We get so used to serving Him that we forget who it is we're serving. And I guess in your mind's eye tonight, in your spiritual sense, I'd hope that you'd stop. Put every thought away tonight. And reflect on who He is. And the mercy and the grace and the love and the holiness and the righteousness and the judgment, the wonderfulness, the counsel, the wisdom, the power, the strength of who God is. What is man? Who am I that God would even think of me? We're dust. We're dust. We're made out of dirt. You look at this vast universe. You see what little bitty part that we play in this. And you look at all that God has created and realize the power in His hand. Yet, now hear me. Just a moment, we're going to bow our heads and pray. We're going to take some requests and stop and pray tonight. Remember who we're speaking to. Whenever we stop tonight and we turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, you realize what it is we have in front of us? This is the words of God. Do you realize who He is? You realize what it is we have in front of us tonight? And for many, we didn't bother to bring it. For many, we just thought, For many, they won't pick it up from a Sunday morning till the next Sunday morning. We're overwhelmed and we say, you know what, preacher, I am going through a difficulty that there's no way. There's nothing God can do about this. He's a mighty God. Now, I will say that there are times God allows us to go down paths that, to be quite honest, we have no idea why we're going down it. I thought of Joseph this week and his life, and there were times whenever he, I'm sure, said, God, I do not get it. But you'll never find a scripture where Joseph complained or he quit God. And there was a time when he stood there, and if it wasn't for all that he had gone through, his family would have died. And I'm sure he said, it was worth it. There's sometimes we go through things. And in those times when it's darkest, dreary, We don't see why. Don't forget He's a mighty God. He is the mighty God. Sickness, finances. I told Brother Slee today we were walking back into the building. We were talking about Gene, and I thought, and I stopped and I turned around and looked at him. I said, what a merciful God. What a merciful God. Because you got to admit, if we were God, someone for 30 years would have cursed our name and said no for 30 years, we would have probably been done with them. But not God. He's a mighty God. You have a problem tonight, He can handle it. You got a request tonight, He can answer it. Got a need, He can meet it. Got a question, He's the answer. He is a mighty God. He is the mighty God. Father, I pray that we remember these things and thank You for Your Son, Jesus.